me set these down here. We don't have no kids for change. We ready? All right. Good morning, everybody. We'll wait for the ladies to get done. We'll wait on everyone. Want to welcome everyone here. I'm okay. I'm gathering my thoughts. I'm a little sick this morning, so you're going to have to practice a little patience and slow down a little bit on me. You know, I'm not going to be able to go at y'all's pace this morning. My wife's sick, and she's had to go to the doctor, and I ended up waking up this morning, and Nita and a few others called and said they can't make it today, whatever's going on with this not the smoke, it's actually a head virus or cold virus that's going around in the sinus. It's not COVID because it's been tested, so we know about that. So I'd like to welcome everyone. Does anyone got the blue inserts? I didn't hand them out this morning, I don't think. I mean, they were in there, but So everybody's special if you don't got it. Oh, there's one back there. All right. Yeah. So, anyone else? Well, let's open with prayer. Dear Lord, we just ask you to come in here today and guide this service in this church with your Holy Spirit and just bring your love to us and the understanding and give us the strength to hold the road that you have put us on to be Christians. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. How about announcement? Well, we know that, the Bible. And then the next week is a little my favorite week part. Then, yes. Is that the 22nd or the 15th? But I believe it's the 15th. The food, but it should be the 15th.
I was getting the wrong date then.
Yeah, it's okay.
It says 22nd.
Yeah. Well, it was. Yeah. It's usually always the third Sunday of the month, and this month, five Sundays fell in instead of four. So that's how that mistake was made, and that was probably on me. And I thought I sent it to you, but evidently I didn't. I'm sorry that when I went back. So, and of course, church council on the 19th. You guys got one more worship song?
Life goes on in endless song. Above earth's lamentation, I hear this weed, though far off him, that hails a new creation. Through
That had a nice melody, didn't it? Well, I think it did anyway. They will be in John 7:1-24 today, and we're going to be looking at, you know, that the day and time we've got to the point where we, it's kind of turned Jesus into a tree-hugging Jesus. You know, that Jesus, you know, he didn't stand on the proof. He wants every, you know, we want to find a way that the world, you know, will get okay with him instead of making sure the world gets okay with him. And we want to adjust Jesus into what the world comfortable with instead of adjusting the world into what Jesus is comfortable with. So that's what we're going to touch on today, and where Satan actually comes from when he attacks you when you choose to be a Christian. And the Osbournes are going to read our scripture for us today.
After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. Well, when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works that you do. No one wants to become a public figure, acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I'm not going to this festival because my time has not yet fully come." After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, "Where is he?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders.
Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who's trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them, "I did one miracle, and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly."
Thank you. Let's look at this and how this thing started here. You know, Jesus knew that if he went to, they were looking to kill him, if he went to the Tabernacle. Now, we know his brothers had seen him witness and do miracles, right? So his own brothers are trying to get him to go and make himself public. Now, that's not to glorify Jesus Christ. That's for them to glorify themselves. They're looking for a way to get on Christ is, look how holy we are, my brothers and I. Maybe we're not seeking to glorify God. And then when he didn't behave the way they wanted him to, his own brothers didn't believe in him. Could you imagine thinking that you were so smart and had such insight of Christ's almighty calling to serve his Father that you knew better than what his calling was? That you knew better when the time would come than he did? Because he did one little miracle that you thought everyone seen, the first thing you, as his brothers, and could look for is, how can I profit off of this? There's no other purpose. I relate to that. I spent almost 5 years studying and trying to do the best I can with all my handicaps that I have, because I had a calling to this pulpit. And many people that I knew up to I got that title, head pastor, didn't give me the time of day and thought I was a joke. But once I got that title, head pastor, you wouldn't believe how many people have come out of the woodwork and tried to tell me how to do it. Trying to tell me that they know better than I do of what my walk with God is. Like it started a month ago. This walk with God did not start a month ago. It's been going on for a little while. You know? And the point I'm trying to make is, Satan will never use someone to try to deceive you away from Christ that you don't know. My daddy used to have a saying. He'd say, son, a man's got to befriend you before he can betray you. See, a man that's not my friend, he may say something to me, but I'll only deal with what he says from my intellect. A man that runs deep in my heart, like Wayne does, where we go back to, when he speaks to me, it just doesn't go into my head, it goes in my heart. Because I love that man. I love him. I've seen what Christ has done in his life. I watched this man wreck a boss hog that a throttle cable stuck on. Now, for you guys that don't know what a boss hog is a motorcycle that has a V8 car engine on it, okay? And he went to pass the car, and he cranked down on the throttle, and the throttle stuck. And now here he's picking up speed. And old boss hog probably doesn't have a top end on it. You will back out of it before it tops out. And he hits and wrecked the ship, the car, the motorcycle burns. He's thrown in the air, bounces, the land in there. I meet him over here at the hospital, and he looked like he fell off the bottom of his step. Was not hardly a scratch on him, you know, a little bruised up and stuff like that. But I got bruised up worse than that, falling off of a step before. You know? The miracle of God. God knows what our purpose is in this life. There's not a woman that I know that's more godly than Carrie Ann Gifford. She is our national secretary for Leadership Focus. She went to church this Wednesday night, did her job and everything. One of them, I mean, this woman's just unbelievable. I mean, you just get around her, talk to her, Zoom or whatever. You just, the Spirit of God just pours out on you, you know. And she goes and does everything she's supposed to do as a Christian, trying to spread the word. She comes home, kisses her husband, comes home, and he's dead on the couch. And these are young people. These are not people in their 60s and 70s. We're talking about people in their late 30s and early 40s. And she calls me or sends an email to me Wednesday morning letting me know what happened. And immediately wanting to know that she would, because we had a problem that she usually helped with. And she wanted me to know that she had gave that information that I gave her to someone else. And they would be, I mean, she just, Thursday morning, she just found her husband dead. But she didn't stop doing God's work. She took out time the next morning to get in touch with me and let me know what happened and ask for my prayer. And then Mike called me later and filled in. Anything that does not glorify Christ and glorify me in the name of Christ is not of Christ. It's just simply not of Christ. And this Christian thing, it's not for the lighthearted. They're seeking to kill Christ. They're seeking to kill him. And he knows it. And he shows up and he starts teaching. And he teaches in a way that they don't know. They never heard of, because their laws and their self-righteousness and their self-understanding of what the book said, the Jewish, didn't. How does he know what we don't know? How is he interpreting? And he lets them know, I come from somewhere else. My authority don't come from you guys. My authority comes from my Father. I know a lot of things that you don't know. And next week we'll get into it deeper. I mean, especially when they bring the lady to him to cast a stone. If you look at that closely in there, and we'll go over it, he separates sin from pure evil. And there's more than just sin going on there. There's some sin going on there, and there's some pure evil going on there. It's your responsibility to know your calling as a Christian. You know, a pastor taught me this, and I believe this today. I used to always say, I do not know what God's will for my life is. And he told me, you are a liar. God's will for your life is the same as God's will is for my life. And that is to be reunified perfectly as a spiritual creature back with God. That's God's will for my life. He said, son, what your problem is you don't know God's mission for your life. And those are two different things. And that's where you're struggling. You're trying to confuse God's will with God's mission. Well, today I know what my God's mission is for me. And it's glorify Christ every chance I get. Every chance I get. Carrie Ann said she don't know how, but she's going to glorify Christ with what happened in her life. Not that she's going to hate Christ. Not that she feels like God has abandoned her. Not that she's mad at God. But she's going to glorify the time that she spent with her husband. And she's going to glorify Christ with the experience that God put in her life, good and bad, in human way. See, we don't know. God has a vision we don't see. See, my way of thinking, that she comes home, she finds that man, and my human knowledge, laying on the couch, passed away, her love, the man that's taken care of, that's treasured her, that must be the worst thing that could have happened. But if he remained alive, we don't have a clue what will happen on Wednesday from now. What might have looked like a horrible moment to call him home is really an unconditional grace that God has used to call his child home before it got too rough. See, but I don't know that. My treasure should not be in this world. My treasure should not be in you guys. I should love you. I should give you the unconditional love that Christ has gave to me. That's not up to questioning. But my treasure should not be of things of this world. It should be in my kingdom with my Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into where Christ was from next week too. That, you know, he's from Nazareth. No one knows. Nothing ever good come out of Nazareth. You know, a prophet can't come out of there. And he's the whole time telling them, who he is. And they still don't know where he came from. You know. And I've had that happen to me here. I'd go down to Moscow, Lakeland, different places as a baseball coach. And everybody said, oh, he's from Sandpoint. Now, anyone in their right mind that listened to me talk for 2 minutes with a knowledge should be able to figure out, I don't know where he's from, but I know where he's not from, and it ain't Sandpoint. Because ain't nothing about me says Sandpoint. You know? And somewhere or another, it ain't. I'm Bayou. I'm Cajun. I'm Bayou. That's what I am. And everything about me says nothing but muddy water running through my veins. Now, have I stayed here, as a brother of mine would say, for a while? Yes, I have. Is it where I'm from? No. Is it my home? No. Because my home is in the kingdom with my Father. This is just a stepping stone to getting to the kingdom. And I'll be honest with you, Sandpoint, I was going to be here for 2 years. 2 years. God had a different plan, didn't he? We got hit with Hurricane Katrina, okay? And me and my boy got shopping around to where we could go because he was going in 11th grade to play ball. And at 11th grade is when colleges look at you and see how well you play ball and how well you do academically. All right? So we got looking around and we knew people and we found out that if he moved to Sandpoint and played ball here, he could gain 2 credits. And that was the only place that we were willing to move to that he could gain 2 credits. So he said, I want to go there, Dad, because I'm going to do the 10th grade again in 11th grade. And I'll phone this in and I'll be bawling because I already know all the answers. So we moved here. And I was going to be here long enough for him to graduate and go to college. And then I was going to move. But it didn't work out that way, did it? So I have to remember, now I'm in the Sandpoint Church of God, preaching the love of Christ. And I was just going to be here for a couple of years. And then I was going to get up out of here and go back and be eating crawfish and blue crabs again. And that just did not happen. I have to believe that there is something greater than me. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he's the perfect Son of the God Almighty that operates through the Holy Spirit to give a sinner like me a second chance to be back with the Creator of everyone and everything. And we have to get that message back out. This is not really difficult. Jesus has made it as simple as it can be. hit your knees, accept him as your Lord and Savior. And from that point on, everything you do, use it to glorify him and his Father. I catch myself asking myself crazy questions one time, you know, sometimes, you know, and I'm being serious here. I'm changing a light bulb and I'm thinking, now how can I use changing a light bulb to glorify Christ? Is there some way to do it? If it is, I want to do it. You know? I woke up this morning in that bed and I was sick and it hit me and Satan told me, you're not going this morning. And I said, you know what? You're right. I'm not. And then that Holy Spirit said in my soul, Satan's a liar and the proof is not in him. You're going to get up out of this bed. You're going to wipe yourself down with that sanitizing stuff where you won't pass it on to anyone else. You're going to keep your distance and you're going to get there. And if there's only one, because I'm already getting phone calls that people may not show up, you know, Nita's calling me and Sue and Don and different people. And if you're going to show up there, and if not but one person walks in that door, you're going to spend the time that you're preaching to that one person, telling them how much Christ loves them and how much he will stand in the gap for them if they only seek him. And that's what you're going to do. And you're not going to let a little bug in you. You're not going to be a sissy. What if Jesus said, whoa, the cross? Wait a minute now. No, I ain't doing that. You know. Huh? And I'm going to let a little head cold keep me from serving him? When he served me unconditionally on that cross? And what he got was not fair? So if you really start seeking him and you really start trying to serve him, do not be surprised if your brothers and sisters and friends and are the one that tries to pull you away and send you in a direction that God would not have you go in because they think they know the best. Don't be surprised. I mean, even Satan used Eve to get to Adam. He didn't take him head on. And why did he do that? Because he knew Adam loved Eve. And if he could get Eve working with him to talk to Adam, he had something going on. And he might just pull this deception off. Jesus went on by himself and quiet and sat back and watched. He knew my brothers, if I go with my brothers, they're going to be the first one hollering, Jesus, here he is, right here. Everybody come and worship Jesus. Come and tell him. And he knew. And that's another miracle here. He's prophesying. It's a miracle. He's telling them before. What's going to happen is going to happen. You guys are evil. The world is evil. And you're going to kill me. And you want to kill me. You're looking for a reason to kill me. That's a miracle. See, he knew what human men were going to do and telling human men what they were going to do before they knew what they were going to do. They were plotting. They were trying to figure it out. But he knew he was going to the cross before they knew that he was going to send him to the cross. So my message is today, no matter who, how close they are to you, and they might not do it with malice, do not let them wedge Satan's will in between you and God's prosperity for you. That's all I got. Thank you for letting me bring this message. Will we have a worship song now?
There's got to be more than going back and forth. From doing right to doing wrong. Cause we were taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody. Thinking it's worth it what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat saying it's too late. Let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless, the cross has made you flawless. No matter how or how deep the wound.
Miss T and Beth Ann and Jackie and my girl's shoulder and Jimbo and Bulldog and the family that children burn up in the fire, that's still, the family that the two young men were shot. Of course, Miss Carrie Ann and Mr. Mike Parts, you know, Mike told me he lost his best brother in Christ. They'd been pastors and worked side by side. This was a great godly man, and he was the brother in Christ that when he struggled, you know, anyway. And there's a family that I got called on Thursday afternoon that I'm not at liberty to give the name of that family, but I will be helping them with a funeral and a loss that just recently happened. And I want to pray for all these people. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we know that you have a vision for us. And that vision is greater than anything that we can see. And Satan tries to evince us these setbacks in our lives around your people is the end game, that it's over with for us. That something that we loved in this world, if we lose it, means you no longer love us. And that's simply not the truth. Dear Lord, we pray that each and one of these lost, that these people are going through this struggle, this pain and suffering and this turmoil that Satan's trying to put a knife in their soul and twist it, that your unconditional grace and your unconditional love will fill their soul up when they remember that you are God Almighty and all things are good through you and all things are evil through Satan. Would anyone else like to pray? We go from here today. We just asked you to protect each and every one of us and keep us close to your heart and keep our desire to be close to your heart. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.